Radio Prague News. Former Prime Minister Stanislav Gross says he has submitted to the police all documents regarding his recent purchase of shares in the Moravia Energo company. According to the tabloid Blesk, Sir Nicholas Winton, the British man who helped save hundreds of Czechoslovak Jewish children from the Holocaust, has been admitted to hospital in Prague. And the new Bavarian Prime Minister Günther Beckstein has called for a dialogue with the Czech Republic on the post-war Beneš decrees. Former Prime Minister Stanislav Gross says he has submitted to the police all documents regarding his recent purchase of shares in the Moravia Energo company. Mr. Gross maintains no regulations were breached in the transaction. Mr. Gross's Social Democrat Party called on him to clarify the circumstances of the purchase and subsequent selling of the shares. The purchase, which reportedly took place 6 months ago, was financed by the Slovak branch of the Czech consultancy Key Investments. The former Prime Minister has now sold his 31% stake in the energy company for an undisclosed sum to the Arca Capital Bohemia company, owned by Slovak financier Pavol Krupa. The daily Mladá Fronta Dnes estimated the sum at 100 million crowns, more than $5 million. Sunday's edition of the tabloid Daily Blesk reports that Sir Nicholas Winton, the British man who helped save almost 700 Czechoslovak Jewish children from the Holocaust, has been admitted to hospital in Prague. Sir Nicholas, who's 98, arrived in Prague last Sunday to take part in the Forum 2000 conference. According to Blesk, he was taken to hospital on Thursday due to exhaustion. The new Bavarian Prime Minister Günther Beckstein called for a dialogue with the Czech Republic on the post-war Beneš decrees in his first address to representatives of the Sudeten German Landsmannschaft in Munich on Saturday. Mr. Beckstein called for the abolition of the decrees, saying they were in contradiction with international law, natural law, human rights and European law. The decrees issued by former Czechoslovak President Edvard Beneš provided for the confiscation of property from collaborators, traitors, ethnic Germans and Hungarians, and the expulsion of ethnic Germans and Hungarians from Czechoslovakia. A large part of the deported Germans then found a new home in Bavaria. Mr. Beckstein's predecessor, Edmund Stoiber, never paid an official visit to the Czech Republic during his 14 years in office. A Czech NGO helping the victims and witnesses of crime says police have evicted 665 domestic violence offenders, five of them women, from their homes in the first 9 months of this year. According to the organization Bílý kruh bezpečí, 664 women and 25 men were immediately threatened by domestic violence, and 773 children witnessed the police interventions. In 32 cases, a person was evicted repeatedly. A law allowing courts to ban domestic violence offenders from their homes for 10 days after an incident came into force in January this year. And finally, the weather. The beginning of the week should be sunny with daytime temperatures between 10 and 15 degrees Celsius. I'm Pavla Horáková and that's the end of the news.
Thanks for tuning in to weekend programming here on Radio Prague. I'm Jan Wellinger and I'll be your host. In just a few moments, we respond to comments and questions from listeners in mailbox. We also have Letter from Prague by Ruth Frankova. Her letter deals with the flu season, and we'll round out the program with Encore. That's hosted by David Vaughan and Patricia Goodson. But let's get to answering those letters straight away in mailbox. Here's Pavla Horáková.
Hello and welcome to Mailbox, wherever you are listening to us. It's good to know that you are out there, because your emails from around the world never cease coming. This one arrived from Atlanta from our listener, Jay Ham.
Hello, Radio Prague. I don't write in often, but I wanted to say thanks for the special from September the 28th. The story about Sir Winton and the Munich Agreement was very good and pretty in-depth. Also, the story in magazine about Heiko, the baboon. Man, he is my hero. Thankfully, he's safe. And finally, this crazy happening at the Rudolfinum Concert Hall. I thought classical music people were, like, sophisticated or something. Too funny. To all the staff of the English service, thanks for producing good shows on a shoestring budget. And have a nice October.
Thank you too, and I must say October has so far been treating us kindly, but colder days are ahead and some of our listeners are apparently already thinking about Christmas. This is from Vernon Snyder from the United States.
Do you have the Czech lyrics for O Holy Night? And if you know of any place I can hear it in Czech, I would appreciate it if you would let me know where.
The Czech name of this carol by the French composer Adolphe Adam is Dny zázraků a přání, and it is sung by the Czech pop legend Karel Gott.
Jdou zas k nám dny zázraků a přání, kdy náměstím půvab dá bílý sní. Jdou zas k nám a z údolí a strání zpěv chorů zní v tóninách sváteční.
Just for your information, the best-known Czech Christmas carols can be found on our website, recorded 5 years ago by the Radio Prague Choir. You can also find the scores and lyrics there. John Seawright from the United States sent us this query.
I would be very grateful if you could let me know the names of Emma Destinová's brothers and the address she lived at in January 1929.
All I could find is that Emma was the eldest of five children born into a well-to-do Prague family. Her father, Emanuel Kittel, was a brewery owner and also a mining entrepreneur. Emma Destinová died in České Budějovice on the 28th of January 1930. In the year 1914 or 1916, according to some sources, she bought a castle in the town of Stráž nad Nežárkou in South Bohemia, where she resided until her death. But whether Emma Destinová was staying at her castle in January 1929, I was unable to find. And Stephen Hrebenach from the United States.
I recently heard that there was consideration of reversing a law in Slovakia that requires the suffix ova to be added to a woman's family name. I didn't realize that this is a law. Is the same true in the Czech Republic? I'd always thought that it was just tradition and not something that was a legal matter. Can you explain the origins of women using ova in many parts of Central and Eastern Europe?
The suffix ova is a variant of the possessive suffix ova. So a woman's surname is derived from her husband's or father's surname only with the added suffix. So if someone is called Novák, his daughter or wife will be Nováková. If a man's surname is technically an adjective, the female version behaves like a normal adjective in the feminine gender. So Mr. Nový's wife is called Nová. Some Czech surnames do not change for grammar reasons. Mr. Janku's wife is Mrs. Janku, and also traditionally foreign surnames ending in vowels do not change and do not have to under current legislation. It is very similar in Slovak, but slightly different in Russian, where the suffix ova is the feminine counterpart of the masculine suffix of, both being possessive adjectives. And Steve Shirley from the United Kingdom asked this question.
Could you tell me if there is an English version of Jiří Šulc's new novel, Two Against the Reich, as mentioned on your website? If so, where can I buy a copy?
I'm afraid no English edition of that book is available, even though the author originally did write the book in English. But as he could not find a publisher, he put it out in Czech instead. And that's all the listeners' questions we have time for today. Before I say goodbye, let me repeat our October competition question once again. Our mystery man was born in Prague on October the 5th, 1781. He was a learned man, a Catholic priest, but also a mathematician, theologian, philosopher and logician. As a lecturer at Prague University, he was known for his anti-militaristic views. His views were seen as too liberal by the authorities and he was dismissed from the university and exiled to the countryside. His works had not been fully published until the middle of the 20th century. Please send us your suggestions by the end of October. We await your answers as well as your reception reports, questions and comments at english@radio.cz or Radio Prague 12099 Prague. Thanks for listening and till next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Pavla. And this week's letter from Prague is next. It was written by Ruth Frankova and be warned, it's a little contagious.
I have made a decision not to write my letter about the weather this time, as the title may suggest, although it is somewhat related. With autumn firmly establishing itself in the city, the weather has become rather uncertain, with sunny days followed by sudden rains. You never really know what to wear, and sooner or later you are simply bound to catch a cold. Some members of our staff have already fallen victims to the annual cold season, and others are still trying to fight it off. When I was younger, I usually conformed to the rule that a cold that is treated takes 7 days, while an untreated one takes a week, so I just waited until it passed. But if I had to stay in bed, then my mum usually resorted to some tried and tested practices of home medicine. A cough was cured by a hot drink made of milk, honey and vincentka, salty mineral water. A sore throat was soothed by an extract taken from a raw onion macerated in honey. Really delicious. And if that didn't work, gargling salty water would definitely do the trick. But the best home cure was a proper chicken soup, the so-called Jewish penicillin. Not that there weren't pharmacies in the old communist days, but they were simply not the most exciting place to visit. That has of course changed with the liberalization of the market, when people discovered that even medicine was a subject of business. One of the first popular commercial medicines that arrived from the West in the early 90s were the so-called Svenska kapki, or Swedish drops, which claimed to cure everything from a minor cold to backaches. Nowadays, the choice of medicine is almost inexhaustible. There are some 2,500 pharmacies in the country, and according to recent statistics, every Czech, including babies, spends there more than 6,000 crowns a year. Czechs also visit their GPs more than anywhere else in Central Europe, some 15 times a year. I, for myself, try to resist the marketing trap, but I have to admit it's not easy. When I enter the chemists, I get enchanted by all the pills in various colours, sizes and shapes, as well as by all the ointments, syrups and drops in shiny covers. And although I go to the pharmacy resolved to buy the cheapest variation of paracetamol, I usually end up with the expensive soluble one with lemon or cranberry flavour. In fact, when I finish this letter, I'm heading straight to the chemist's. While I was writing, my nose started running and my throat is getting sore. Perhaps it is just the power of imagination, or perhaps we Czechs are just a bunch of hypochondriacs. Nevertheless, I have to admit I sort of enjoy yielding to a cold just once in a while and stay at home muffled up in sheets, provided, of course, that there is someone to look after me.
We turn now to our main feature for this day, which is Encore with Patricia Goodson and David Vaughan.
Hello, tally-ho, and welcome to Encore. I'm Patricia Goodson.
And I'm David Vaughan. Tally-ho.
Well, it sounds like hunting music, don't you think?
Absolutely.
Well, we've been listening to a concerto for two horns, written by the composer Bjørn Antonin Roessler.
That's spelled R-O-E-S-S-L-E-R, I should point out.
Thank you. And he came to fame in the 18th century as Antonio Rossetti. But now he's known as František Antonín Roessler Rossetti.
And he's probably best known, as we mentioned in an earlier show, as the composer of the Requiem that was played at Mozart's funeral mass here in Prague.
That's right, and it was attended by thousands of people, unlike in Vienna. And although this recording is on a modern French horn, you can hear from the style of the music that, at the time, the horn hadn't strayed far from its roots as a hunting horn.
And so in what ways does the modern horn differ from the horn of Roessler's day?
Well, the natural horn, which is the old one, was made of a single length of tubing, curled around into a circle and with a bell at the end. and it could be only played in one key. And the player manipulated pitch by variations in lip tension. And they still do that today, but modern horns have valves which change the length of the tubing, and hence the pitch. So the modern horn can be played in all keys. And interestingly enough, the modern horn is actually two horns, or lengths of tubing, joined together, one for low notes and one for high notes.
And the music we heard at the top of the program was from a new 2-CD set issued by Supraphon, with compositions for 2 and 3 horns, and they're performed by the brothers Zdeněk and Bedřich Tilšar, both of whom were longtime members of the Czech Philharmonic. And these are recordings from various periods over several decades. Sadly, Zdeněk Tilšar passed away last year, but his brother is still alive. And I think that this CD is rather a fine tribute to his life's work.
It is indeed. Now let's listen now to a recording from 1977, the slow movement from a concerto for two horns and orchestra by one Josef Fiala. And I would like to point out that in those days, there was a different ideal of horn tone, which you may be able to hear if you listen to a lot of horn music. It was a different ideal in Russia and Central Europe than in the West. And this is a fine example of that. An excerpt from Josef Fiala's Concerto for Two Horns and Orchestra. And Josef Fiala, who lived from 1748 to 1816, was one of the legions of Bohemian composers active in present-day Germany in the 18th century.
And now let's move on to something very different. We have a CD of music for children's choir written by the highly distinguished contemporary Czech composer Petr Eben. That's spelled E-B-E-N.
It's called O Milé Dítky, or Dear Little Children, and it's performed by the Zvoneček, or Little Bell, choirs of the City of Prague Music School. It says here that there are over 200 children aged 4 to 15 in the various choirs. Let's listen to Mr. Eben's Bílé a růžové peřiny, which means white and pink featherbed quilts, as sung by the older children.
Thank you.
Oh, that's lovely. Let's listen to another one. Here's one sung by the younger children called Krepelenka, which means little quail.
Peter Eben's Krepelenka, performed by one of the children's choirs from the City of Prague Music School. The disc seems to have been issued privately by the choir, although it should be available through the website cdmusic.cz.
Well, I'd love to hear more of that, but let's turn now to the Smetana Trio and their recent disc on the Superfon label of trios by Dvořák, Martinů and Fibich.
And I think we ought to listen to some Fibich, because it's quite a long while since we've heard anything by him. Many of our listeners will recall that he's best known for his melodramas, or music for narrator and orchestra.
To put him in context a little bit, his dates were 1850 to 1900, which is pretty easy to remember.
And we'll leave today with the slow movement of his trio for piano, violin and cello in F minor from 1872. But first, as usual, I'll give you our address. That's Radio Prague, 12099 Prague, the Czech Republic. And of course, you can also send us an email to english@radio.cz. And you can find out more about the music we've been playing on our website at www.radio.cz. But for the time being, from me, David Vaughan.
And me, Patricia Goodson.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Encore, hosted by Patricia Goodson and David Vaughan, brings us to the end of today's program. I'm Jan Wellinger. It was a pleasure having you with us. For now, though, it's goodbye from Radio Prague here in the Czech capital.